Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, we give our thoughts on the Glendenning Medal. We preview the Western Derby and what a terrific round of Anzac Day matches they were.
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, listeners. It's Thursday morning. It's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast. Second edition for this week, or Glendenning Medal Part 2. I have with me in the studio Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian Quarters. How are you, mate? We've had Anzac Day. We've had peace talks on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday.
On a very different sort of medal, yes.
We appear to now be ready to push forward and have one of the biggest Western Derbies ever.
Yeah, we do. And thankfully, it looks like the Glendenning Medal issue has been resolved, or the Glendenning Allen Medal, as it will be known as of the second Derby this year. Thankfully.
Are we sure it will be that, or is it possible there'll be another Fremantle figure on the...
I'm sure. I think it's the logical choice.
Yeah, me too.
You're talking about Pavlich, perhaps?
I have a feeling Fremantle might have bigger plans for Matthew Pavlich.
Mm.
But I think...
So are we talking best and fairest?
Maybe. Or maybe there's another significant award they would like in his honour. But I think Glendenning Allen adds a nice symmetry to it all, doesn't it?
I do. And, you know, I'll repeat what I said earlier. I don't like how a great man and a great WA figure's name has been, whether it's inadvertent or inadvertent, has been dragged through the mud this week. Ross Glendenning, it's Fremantle who's caused that, and I'm just not happy about that at all. I'm glad we can move on now, and I'm glad it's been resolved. Let's get on with it. I mean, we're going to have 50,000 at the Derby this week. It's a record crowd. It will be a record crowd.
60,000.
60, 58. They're tipping 58, so mm-hmm. I guess we're talking about restricted view seats, but yep. We'll get to that later. But great crowd. Billing is a great contest. Two teams in form.
Yeah, I think probably best summed up the events of this week. A reasonable outcome got to in an unreasonable way.
Spectacularly unstatesmanlike behaviour this week, in my opinion.
Yep. I think Fremantle, if they had their time again, they would handle the events of Monday better. But I also think this comes back to both clubs being able to sit down and talk reasonably about things. And this should have been done weeks and weeks ago.
Yep. I agree.
And I think the interesting thing just around the office, when you take a straw poll around the office of, you know, West Coast fans, Fremantle fans, one, there weren't many Fremantle fans that were happy with the way this was dealt with on Monday. But two, West Coast fans on Tuesday, when they came to understand what Fremantle actually wanted, they sort of went, oh, yeah, that's okay.
And it is. It's very reasonable. It's just, if this had been done weeks ago, we would not be sitting here having this conversation.
Exactly. So, you know, message to both clubs, Fremantle in particular, handle these things in a more public and a more discussive way, as opposed to, I think we got into a bit of CEO brinksmanship between the two.
Well, it's not always about us versus them. Sometimes there's greater good, and I think WA footy is the greater good here.
And also, I think this issue would not be complete without a big pat on the back to Murray McHenry and the WA Football Commission. And I think, really, they are the parent body of these two clubs. They are also the owners of these two clubs. And I reckon it wouldn't hurt them to involve themselves more often when we see our clubs behave like children. And we do see our clubs behave like children a little bit around Western Derby time, particularly when there's a close derby coming up.
We hope it's a close derby.
Well, we think it will be, don't
we? Yeah, I do think it will be, but you never know with derbies. You really don't.
So, you know, when victory is on the line and there's no certainty as to who's going to win, there's a fair bit of adolescent behaviour creeps in, I think, with our two clubs. So well done by the Football Commission, and be prepared to do it more often.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to hand out bouquets too for every club that was involved in the Anzac Day presentations. The Melbourne Richmond stuff on Anzac Eve was spine tingling, loved it. Mm. And yesterday is done with class, as it always is. And I really like the way it's reflected and reflective. And you know, any kids out there, the next generation, it's good that footy brings this into it.
Yep, and I think also that comes back to a lesson for our two clubs as well. You can get a truly great rivalry when you're prepared to work together on certain things. There's nothing more Australian, I think, than the gesture by Melbourne, Richmond, Collingwood, Essendon when they run through the banner together.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it evokes, Anzac Day evokes passion. And we obviously discovered that with Brendan Goddard yesterday. The only problem is, Brendan, you're meant to portray it towards the opposition, not your own team.
Yes, Brendan, we know you have unbridled passion, but, mate, here's a bridle.
has put his hand up overnight and said, I need help. Has actually said, I want my teammates to help me here because I lose the plot out in the field sometimes.
Let's deal with Goddard first. What did you make of that? Is that a senior player giving leadership?
I don't like it. I don't mind a senior player giving leadership, but there's ways of going about it, and I don't think a public admonishment is a way of doing it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It just looks terrible. It looks terrible when he's admonishing another senior player like Zaharakis.
Yeah, and then Joe Danaher, who wasn't having the best of days in front of goal. So I just didn't like it. I mean,
and I think lip readers suggested that what he was telling the forwards was man up and put more pressure on. And Brendan isn't exactly the greatest manner upper or pressure putter on.
No, he's not.
He's a ball user. So
extraordinary event yesterday.
And he has form, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does have form.
I mean, Brendan Goddard, great, great player. I still remember his 2010
mark
grand final.
What about the mark
in the goal square? Just
had they won that game? Had they won that game? That would be a Jezelenko U beauty moment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he would be probably the most famous player in Kilda history.
Yeah, I reckon. And one of the most famous players in modern footy history, because that's the mark that won the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pity, really. It didn't play out otherwise. But
at
anyway,
the moment, he's remembered for knocking pretzels off tables.
That was last year. Oh, yeah. Vicious that was, those poor pretzels.
And throwing the toys out of the cot on Anzac Day. So, come on, Brendan.
Yeah, pick it up. Now, a couple of others. What do you think of the six-month trade window the AFL's talking about? I think it's between January and June next year. They're talking about having a six-month window. So, a third trade period, if you like. It's a long window.
Yeah, no.
I tend to agree.
The more time you give clubs to procrastinate over trades, the more time they will spend procrastinating over trades. Rather than creating certainty and stability, you will create uncertainty and instability.
Which we've seen in the EPL, the English Premier League, which has this sort of a window. Yeah. And it does create uncertainty and there's all sorts. Yeah, so
mate, with the trade period that we have, they spend the first bloody
week and
two-thirds of it, twiddling their thumbs and gazing at their navel.
And then it all happens with the facts in the last 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, let's not try and invent things that we think are going to be solutions which are actually going to cause more problems.
True. Anything else out of the weekend, mate, that took your fancy?
Well, I think let's go back to Anzac Day again and Anzac Eve. I think serious issues for Melbourne and Essendon now.
Yep.
You know, Melbourne, their endeavour was great in the game against Richmond. Richmond's method at the moment is just amazing, and their belief in that method is incredible. To think this is Richmond, the team that has traditionally seized chaos from order repeatedly, they are just the most well-drilled, well-organised team at the moment with the most complete belief in
the
method.
They are. No one has really emerged yet. There are a few question mark challenges, but no one has really emerged yet.
Mm.
I tell you what, can they sustain this for 26 weeks, though? Because this they've been up for a long time, Richmond.
You know what's most impressive about it, though, Quarters, is that often we see premiership teams try and ease their way into the season, and we keep on thinking, oh, you know, here they come, and more often than not, they never come.
Yep.
But in Richmond's case, they have come back like a team determined to take things to a new level.
They have, yeah, and they've looked at the lessons perhaps over the last couple of years and thought we're not going to follow that formula, we're not going to follow that lead.
I just wonder, in Melbourne's case, I wonder why we end up with Jake Melchin playing deep forward on Alex Rance with Jesse Hogan getting all these kicks on the wing.
Yeah.
Now, but those two players actually made pretty solid contributions to Melbourne's effort the other night.
Jesse's been very good this year.
But why wouldn't you make Rance defend
very good
Hogan rather than have Melksham effectively defending him?
Yep.
And Melksham scavenged four goals and was as quite effective, but Rance still intercepted, you know, forward thrust, left, right and centre. Richmond still bounced out of defence, and then once they got the ball inside their attacking half, they absolutely owned the D's.
A lot of it has got to do with the pressure that Richmond put on the opposition ball carriers and the way it's, you know, I think, and it's a, you know, credit to them the way it's done. I tell you what did worry me after their latest victory, latest conquest, was a Richmond supporter on social media saying back to back, oh dear. Let's leave that in the can for the moment, please. I don't think Damien Harwood would be too happy with that one.
Oh, I don't think Swan Street will be very happy with that either. Oh. They're still recovering from the last one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they are.
Okay, quickly, before we get to the tips this week, Essendon, how bad is it for them?
Look, it's only round six, so there is time. But at the moment, the accountability, when the toes go up, when the heat is on, and that worries me about Essendon at the moment, and the accountability isn't there. That's the biggest issue they face. I think structurally they could get it right. They've got a lot of talent in there. But I can't see them at this stage getting anywhere near the top four, which a lot of people were predicting pre-season. I'm worried now about a top eight for Essendon right now.
Yeah, their best is falling into the bottom of the eight.
When they have the footy in their hands and the game is on their terms, they're as good as anyone. But it doesn't happen often enough, and that's not modern footy.
Yep. Let's make the first game we tip the Derby, because that's the one most of the people out there will be wanting to get into. So let's spend a bit of time on that.
Yep.
Who are you going for on Sunday?
I'm going for West Coast with some reluctance. I thought long and hard about this game. You can obviously make a case for both teams. Both teams are in cracking form. Freo love... Early days, very impressive on Optus. Lost their last five derbies, and it tends to go in cycles, derbies. There'll be some really interesting matchups this week. Exactly what Freo do in the ruck to back up Sandy. A few other bits and pieces, but I'm going for West Coast narrowly. I see Yo's put up his hand and said, I want Fife, so that it's going to, as you predicted earlier in the week, that'll be the most captivating matchup, and I think it will happen. Interestingly, he said, I think it'll be more about stoppages than a run with roll, so he'll focus on Fife at the stoppages, as he should, because he is a monster in there, and it won't be such a run with roll, which is okay. I think that's probably a smart way to attack it. I've got West Coast just.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think West Coast just.
Tabner's a big out, isn't he?
I think it's more, when I look back to when the Derby rivalry was at its absolute peak, and I'm talking about the years between 02 and about 07, about 07, the feeling I always had, West Coast were, for the most part of that period, the better performed team, but Fremantle won about 50% of the derbies.
Yeah.
So Fremantle played above themselves in derbies. And I think one of the reasons they did is because Fremantle had better bone structure in their team, in that they had Luke McFarlane in defence, they had Matthew Pavlich in attack. And there was always the feeling that if Fremantle could get a break-even situation in the midfield, they had the weapons to win the game. And I think that is why I would lean towards West Coast in this one.
Yep.
I look at Jeremy McGovern in defence, Josh Kennedy, Jack Darling in attack.
Lacroix.
Lacroix to a lesser degree. Yeah, I look at Fremantle. Certainly Fremantle has an emerging defence, a very good young defence, so I would put them on equal terms there. I think West Coast has the better weapons in attack. So if West Coast gets a break-even situation midfield, I think West Coast wins because of the better attack.
Yeah, number one for marks inside 50, West Coast in the comp, and you've just explained why. I think Freo, the great thing for Freo, this time last year, or entering this season, we're talking about the fact they don't crack that 100-point barrier much. Well, they're averaging 103 points per game.
Yeah, fantastic.
So that's they can kick a winning score now, no problems at all. as I said, Tabner, I think, is a big out. He's been in terrific form. I think, they can cover him, and particularly if the midfield rest control, which is all in the hands of really Fife and Neil, but Fife particularly.
So if West Coast wins on Sunday, I think West Coast will make the eight. If Fremantle wins on Sunday, I think Fremantle can make the eight.
Yeah, that's a very good call. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I still haven't got them in the eight. It's a long season. It is a long season.
Yeah, and the thing for Freo fans to bear in mind is that with every injury, you'll be bringing in a young player. And that's what Ross Lyon warned about at the start of the year. And one of the reasons why they didn't just throw in a lot of young players right at the start, because he knew as the season went on with injuries, they would be introducing youth by necessity.
And the youth they've introduced, and it's not an out for them by any means, but it's understandable that there will be a dip in form.
Yep.
It's the first year in a really intense competition. It's a long, long year. And they're young bodies when it comes to that combat. And I think that we can expect a dip in form from them. That's understandable. I hope Freo play them, give them a chance to go through that trough.
So the obvious matchup for Fife, as has been mentioned, is Yeo around stoppages. Bailey Banfield, who does he go to? I've got him on Luke Shuey. I reckon you'll be sending him to Andrew Gaff, correct?
Yeah, I will be, yes. But you can chop and change during the course of the game depending on how it's unfolding. But I would start him on Gaff at the moment.
I reckon Ross doesn't chop and change. I reckon he picks one and that's the one he goes with. So I'm thinking he'll go to Shuey.
Yeah, who's the most gettable?
Gaff's more gettable than Shuey.
Yeah.
But
doesn't Ross go to the most gettable?
I reckon he goes to the one that he reckon can put the biggest dent in the opposition's output, and I reckon he'll feel that might be Shuey, not Gaff. I believe Shuey's a bit sore too, so that may tell Ross that he'll feel that he might be gettable in this game.
Yeah. Look, I can't wait. We'll both be there. The noise is going to be amazing. It is a loud venue.
It is.
It's an exciting loud venue.
It's fantastic. I mean, West Coast for its the size of its crowds has a quiet crowd.
Does it?
Well, they used to. They're getting a bit louder as time goes on. But that crowd at the Geelong game, they were rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Well, this would be obviously a predominantly Freo crowd, and Freo do have voice.
Freo are loud.
Yeah, they're loud. Yeah. So good luck to all. Oh, just enjoy the game, everyone. Enjoy the spectacle.
Absolutely.
I know it's hard when you've got your team goggles on, but enjoy what's a great moment for WA footy. First game, first derby at the new stadium.
Yep. And don't boo Ross Glendinning.
Please don't. Please don't. He's done nothing wrong but be a WA footy champion.
Exactly.
That's his fault, which is not a fault. So, give him the applause he deserves.
And the respect he deserves. Yeah,
absolutely. Friday night, Western Bulldogs v Carlton at Etihad Stadium. Last in contested possession, the Dogs, which was their trademark in 2016, against Carlton that hasn't kicked 100 points for 38 games straight. Who do you pick in this game? I'm going with the Dogs. They've shown in halves of footy when they've lost that they're capable. I'm just not confident enough. I still repeat, I think Carlton's on the right track, but you're just going to have to endure the pain for the moment because there's some real talent there. I'm just not confident yet that I can pick them.
I'm going to go with the Dogs because I'm sure we both think the Dogs this year are better than Carlton. Yep. You know why Carlton can win? 6-day break for the Western Bulldogs, coming off a trip to Perth and coming off Optus Stadium, which everyone is starting to acknowledge is a very hard surface. Western Bulldogs, but don't be surprised if Carlton get up.
Which is a nice segue into the next game, Saturday, Geelong v Sydney at Geelong at GMHBA Stadium. Sydney won their last two there, but no Buddy, no Hannabury, still no Reed, and acknowledged by Longmire that it was a legacy of their round one game. The bruised heel that Buddy's nursing was a legacy of their round one game at Optus Stadium. So they're big outs for Sydney. I'm not sure that they think they can win it, which is why they're not playing.
Yeah, they often go there and we think they can't win it and then they end up winning it.
Well, they've won their last two there. Exactly.
Quarters, I just wonder whether we started to see their midfield start to creak a bit.
Yeah, look, it has. Week. I still have faith. This is Sydney's last chance as a flag with this group. So we're talking about the Kennedys, this type of player, Parkers, Hannabury's. They are getting older and they've been at the coalface for so long.
Yeah.
And it's a brutal game playing in the positions they play in. You're right. I think we have started to see that. And it's showing. They're losing contested possession more regularly than they ever have. But I still have faith in them. I'm picking Geelong, by the way, but at home. But I still think Sydney are going to have a considerable influence on the flag this year, whether they win it or not.
Don't disagree with that, and I don't disagree with you that Geelong will win.
Yes, and some, you know, again, Todd Menegola, terrific form.
Sam Menegola.
Todd's his dad, isn't he?
No. Sean is his dad.
Sean is his dad.
I was in Sean's bridal party.
Menegola's mixed up. There you go. Great start for the year for him. I think Hawkins might be back for them this week too. I think Gaz is still a week or two away, little Gaz.
Yeah. Don't expect him
but
to play this week.
Good midfield. They love playing down there. It's a raucous. Talk about loud. I lived there for 8 years, mate, and there's some noise at Geelong, I can tell you.
Yep, I think the Cats to win. Like the way they've rejigged their defence. And I think they'll have the guns to go with the Sydney midfield and get over the top of them.
North v Port at Etihad Stadium. Hard game to pick this one. Very hard game to pick.
Ooh.
I had North. Now I've gone Port. I have faith in Port to recover. They're not in great form at the moment. North Melbourne, what a terrific performance against Hawthorn, particularly in the first quarter. And that man at full forward, who should have been the All-Australian full forward last year, Ben Brown.
I'm going to tip North.
Mm.
I think it's time we paid some respect to North.
Yep.
Ben Brown, you're absolutely right. He is a star. Down the other end, Robbie Tarrant is a star. Scott Thompson is a very good wingman for Tarrant.
64 points per game they're conceding, North.
And the fact that they have two very good and strong tall defenders has enabled them to slot Magic Dore in there, and he's learning very quickly on the job. They've got a monster midfielder in Ben Cunnington. He's never pushed out of the way by anyone.
No.
They can still throw Jack Zeebel in there. He goes in and out of there. I suspect Sean Higgins won't play.
He's not playing.
So that's a blow.
It is a blow, yes. Zeebel's been good in attack there. Have you ever seen a side? I mean, we talk about players and their influence. Nick Nat's won at West Coast. But Ryder for Port. He's been a big loss, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are starting to liken his influence at Port to Nat Nui's influence at West Coast. I mean, he's a very good ruckman. Ruckman that can not only win the tap but direct the ball are invaluable, because your midfielders just get so much more on the move around the stoppage. I reckon one adjustment Ken Hinckley can make, I would be playing Robbie Gray more forward and sometimes in the midfield, and I would be playing Travis Boak more midfield and sometimes in the forward line. He seems to have gone the other way with that, and I think that's the wrong thing.
Yep.
I think Boak is a midfielder who goes forward, and I think Gray is a forward who goes into the midfield.
So you're picking North, I'm picking Port, but I'm picking Port just. It'll be a kick in this.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty confident about North if Higgins was playing, but the fact that he's not playing I think makes it a 50-50 game. I'm just going to respect North's form.
Oh, yeah, I respect them. See, they've been terrific. Mm. It would not surprise me at all if I get this one wrong. GWS v Brisbane, Spotless Stadium. It's their first game at Spotless this year, GWS. If they kick straight, it'll be a mauling. I'm picking GWS.
Yeah, well, how can you not?
Yeah.
I mean, we still think they have the weapons to win the flag, whether they do or not, and Brisbane is winless. So, Brisbane, well done. I love the way you fought out the Q clash.
And they've done that a lot this year. They have gained a lot of respect this year. They've done really nothing but gain respect this year, but they're just not really there yet. And one player who GWS will have to respect is Charlie Cameron.
Yeah.
He's been terrific this year.
Yeah, how's that goal?
Oh, goal of the year. Good luck beating that for goal of the year. That was a sensational goal.
He's a very good athlete. He's a very dangerous player. But
seems to have grown a wheel this year too. I mean, he was always a good, quick, mobile player, but he just looks quicker.
Oh, I know. He's always quick. Yeah. I saw him play in the preliminary final last year. He was a very good player last year. Yep. GWS, comfortably.
Hawthorn v St Kilda in Launceston. We saw how the loss of Rioli Puopolo hurt that Hawthorn inside 50 pressure last week. One big in for Hawthorn will be Burgoyne. He had his nickname Silk, and he does add that Silk for Hawthorn. St Kilda just cannot afford to be inaccurate this year with the opportunities their forwards are getting, and they have been one of the most inaccurate teams.
Yep.
I have no faith in St Kilda. I think Hawthorn will – it was a good fight back in the second half. And I'm picking the Hawks.
Well, they go very well in Launceston, don't they?
Yep.
The other thing that Hawthorn do really well is they punish teams that turn the ball over. The Saints have a scatty connection with their forwards. That's been one of their major issues.
Mm-hmm.
If they turn the ball over against the Hawks just get you going
the other way
because of their high skill level.
And I'll pick up on one thing there. I was once admonished by a taxi driver for 30 minutes for calling it Launceston. It's Launceston, apparently.
Launceston.
Launceston, yeah, if you're a Tasmanian.
As in Lon Chaney.
That's it, right? He just admonished me, Val. I said, oh, mate, I get it.
Okay.
Okay. Adelaide v Gold Coast at Adelaide Oval. Have not lost to the Gold Coast before Adelaide, and I don't expect that to start this weekend in what will be the battle of the Tom Lynches.
Yes. Two very good players, the Tom Lynches.
Yes, two very different players. One connects the midfield with the forward line. The other is just a fantastic forward.
If we had a battle of the namesakes, Quarters, the Josh Kennedys versus the Tom Lynches.
Yes, who wins?
Who wins?
Oh, I'm backing the Kennedys.
Are you?
Yeah. Maybe not right now, but at their best, I'm backing the Kennedys.
Kennedy name doesn't have a great record in a fight.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm back in the Kennedys. Adelaide, I'm pretty confident Adelaide will win this one.
Yeah.
Collingwood v Richmond at the MCG Sunday. Collingwood coming off a 3-day break. Richmond coming off a 4-day break. Going for 12 in a row at the G, Richmond, which hasn't happened since 74-75. So I think 73, 74, they went back-to-back the Tigers. So it was a successful era for them. 12 in a row at the G, that is some record.
Weren't they a meek and mild, well-mannered lot back in those days, in 73, 74, 75?
No, I grew up in Melbourne, they weren't. No. They were more feral than they are now, if that can be said.
Yes, no, they were. They weren't called the Eat 'em Alive Tigers for nothing.
So we're talking 91 hours recovery for Collingwood. Richmond's only got a day more, but that day is going to be crucial, isn't it?
That night's sleep is going to be crucial.
Which is why, I'm really tempted to pick Collingwood here. Form side of the comp at the moment. If you take Richmond out of it, they're the yardstick. But underneath them, I think they're the form side, Collingwood. I really do.
Yeah, well, the unfortunate part of that logic is they're playing Richmond.
I know, which is why I'm picking the Tigers. I'm picking the Tigers. I think they'll meet their match. If they're at their best, they'll give them a really good run for their money. But I'm again, the confidence I've never had in the past with Richmond on Ahab.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think, how do you tip against the Tigers at the moment? Things to love about Collingwood Quarters. Love their midfield.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful midfield.
And it's being delivered now with some precision into that forward 50. And look how Cox is responding in attack.
Well, that was my second point. Mason Cox. I mean, what a great experiment. And what a great show of faith, Nathan Buckley. You know, there were times last year when people were laughing at this and saying, you know, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this American guy's never going to stump up as a tall forward. Mm-hmm. He clunked about 5 or 6 yesterday against Essendon.
Yep.
Has worked out how to catch it. That doesn't mean he'll catch it five
or
six times.
He doesn't even have to catch it either. He just has to bring it to ground. And hasn't he added something to that forward line?
Yeah, well, he's a class player. Mm. He's just not a class act off the field.
Well, let's hope he's got it right and there's some continuity, because he means a lot to that forward line, and look what the results it's brought. They're fifth now, I think, the Pies.
Yeah, and the other one is Matty Scharenberg. Two knee reconstructions.
Yep.
He's a guy who coaches in South Australia rated as the best kid to come through the system there since Wayne Carey.
Yep.
That's how highly they rated him. Two big knees. He is playing really well at halfback, and well done to come over the top of those two knee recos and get back to being a really good player.
Now, here's a stat. They're 35-35 at the MCG, these two teams, in what's been a very colourful history. So there'll be some bragging rights at the end.
Have they only played 70 times
at the G? At the G? Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Seriously?
Don't forget, we're looking back to Punt Road and Victoria Park in the past.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Before they had, you know, blockbusters. So, yeah, so 70 times they've played.
Before they realised they couldn't contain the ferals at those suburban grounds.
Well, I never went to Punt Road for an actual game, but I'll tell you, I went to Vic Park, and that was something. It was a rite of passage as a young Melbournean to go to Victoria Park. As much as I hated it, I loved it, because it was, you're talking feral, I mean, mate, seriously.
They wouldn't, at a Richmond-Collingwood game at Victoria Park, they just could not possibly have provided enough VB cans to pee in.
Yes, I've seen a bit of that in the day. And you'd never use the sinks at those public toilets either, I can tell you. Got hit over the head with an umbrella by a Collingwood granny, because I dared sit in the front. There was only really one row of seats around the outer wing, and we got there for the under-19s, then the reserves and the seat. I've been there all day, and she came over, that's my seat, and donked me over the head with the umbrella. So there you go.
I can top that. I had a bloke, a Collingwood supporter, drill a daisy cutter into my head from 5 metres.
Yep.
When the media, you know how the press box was on the outer wing?
Yes.
And you just had to walk across
it
was a wet, heavy ball. It was drilled into my head from 5 metres.
So was it on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I was 5 metres in front of him. There was no way he didn't see me.
I've been hit by a few footies on those grounds over the years, but that's not very nice. And those wet, heavy balls.
Oh, it hurt.
Yeah,
it hurt.
The last game is Essendon v Melbourne at the MCG. Again, Essendon have got that 3-day break, that 91 hours recovery. Melbourne have got the 4-day break. Good to see Lever find some form. Melbourne were good for a half and then fell away. I'm prepared to pick Melbourne here, not from a lack of real confidence, but for a lack of no confidence in Essendon at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'm big on that extra day's break. Yeah. I think that it's a horrendously short break, and that extra night's sleep, just being able to go home to bed, let your body start the recovery process before Essendon even got to play. I'm going to go with the D's. I liked Melbourne's effort for long periods of the game on Tuesday night. I just didn't like their method.
Yep,
really.
Fair call.
And I think that may get them to the line.
A couple of questions. Kara Andrew, why did Fremantle spend 48 hours bullcrapping about the reason they didn't want the medal and cup awarded? Why didn't they have the balls to say the real reason and blame the CUB sponsorship agreement? They're all fair questions. We've discussed it a bit earlier. We acknowledged that they should have taken a different path. It's a good outcome for and just an ordinary process.
They should have taken the path earlier, basically. And they should have, as that asker of that question said,
Cara,
just come clean, say what you think. It's very easy to defend the truth, usually.
Steve-O asks, some of the only tickets remaining for the Derby are single seat, restricted view seats for $90 each. How can they possibly be that expensive there if they are restricted view? That's a fair question. I'd agree with that if they're restricted view. But I've got a feeling that you're going to want to be at the Derby this week.
That's probably what the club thinks, too.
Yeah, even with a restricted view, I reckon.
All these things have a market value, don't they?
Yeah.
And they're probably thinking there's an extra market value on these seats.
Last question from me, Eric Maynard. Is Willie Rioli getting better by the week? The Eagles have never lost with him in the lineup. Well, it's only round five, so.
Yeah. I think, Eric, bridle your passion too. I think you might be getting ahead of yourself. Yeah,
he's a talent, Willie, and he adds some excitement to that forward line. Great to see him out there, but yeah, it's only early days.
And Willie, sometimes when you get the ball on 50, there is a blue and gold player ahead of you inside 50. Look for him and hit him.
Yeah, you can't make too many more of those mistakes.
Otherwise, you're going to get some serious feedback from at a team.
If he hasn't already.
Correct.
Yeah. Any from you?
No, that's it. Thank you very much for joining us today. Good luck with your tipping this weekend. Good luck to all those passionate West Australian football supporters with your team in the Derby. Hopefully it will be one of the great games in WA football history. Hopefully we'll have a new crowd record, and hopefully we will set a new benchmark on what a Derby is and is supposed to be about on Sunday afternoon. Thank you for Tab Touch for being our sponsors on this, and we will join you again on Tuesday for a wrap of the weekend's matches.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.